بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are tuned into Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey. So this morning we're talking about something that is very, very serious and something that we obviously need constant reminders about. Sweeping things under the carpet doesn't make it go away. In fact, it only makes things worse. Now, the reason that we chose this topic and the reason that I chose my dear friend, author and life coach Nadira Chopra to do this topic with me is because of the amount of times we have received requests from people for a particular topic like this, as well as in our dealings with children, parents, adults, regarding how do we sort issues out. I need to get help, but I'm afraid what will people say. If I make this decision regarding my child, am I a bad parent? And what we would like to say to our listeners, that our intention first and foremost is to educate and empower everybody so that inshallah we can live happy, healthy lives and teach our children to make the correct choices in life and to have healthy relationships moving forward. So a few examples just before I start would be sometimes if you have a child that may have a learning problem, a learning difficulty, and maybe the ustad is a maktab or the teacher at the school may mention that they think there's a problem. And it can be difficult to hear something like this from a teacher or ustad is a maktab, because obviously to every parent, their child is perfect. And it can be difficult to acknowledge that maybe my child may need more help, maybe my child's struggling intellectually or in any other way. And they do sometimes feel, it's okay, my child will outgrow it, it's fine, let's just carry on in the mainstream, or let's just carry on like nothing happened. Without realizing that by making such decisions, you are actually making things worse for your child later. And there's so many more examples that we can talk about, and that is why Nadira Chopra and I will be discussing this topic in detail. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Stok, Nadira Chopra. And always, always a pleasure having you as a guest on this platform.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Sister Aisha and to all your listeners. It's so wonderful to be back on this platform. Alhamdulillah.
Shukr alhamdulillah. So great having you here. And as I mentioned in our opening, in my opening statement, that you know, Nadira, with your interaction with the public, with my interaction with the public, we often see this. This happening all the time, where we know there's a problem, whether it could be in parent relationships, whether it could be in the upbringing of children. So many examples which we are going to be discussing just now. But the fear of what will people say? My child may not fit the norm. My relationship is not fitting the norm. And unfortunately, we try to sweep things under the carpet, hoping that it'll go away, and it doesn't. So my next question to you will be, what is the norm? And who set the norm?
Correct, 100%. And before that, I'd just like to say this topic that you chose. You know, I'm so grateful for you and for all those who are highlighting this. It's because we are speaking of things that's affecting our children, that's affecting us, that's affecting the generations that did affect them years ago, generations ago, that nobody had the courage to talk about. Mm. And you know, Bibesha, it comes back in the reflection of our children and their children, and then it's passed on. So when we say, you know, what would society think and where this mindset comes from, it's very culturally inclined as opposed to Islam.
Yes.
Because we know in Islam we speak, we communicate, whatever is, you know, it's a sunnah to even express yourself and communicate to your spouse, to your children. You know, we forget that sometimes.
Yeah.
And then we bring in, you know, the cultural mindset of things. And in that sense, it's what it comes again. It comes again pretty much from, you know, certain villages that existed, you know, years ago and in countries that perhaps we didn't even visit yet, but it still exists. And like, what would the community think? I mean, what would the world think? And then what would the families think? I mean, what would my brother-in-law, my brother or my sister think that's outside of the nuclear family itself? But we're not addressing what is happening. What is this disease that's affecting us emotionally, psychologically? Mm-hmm. What's disturbing us that we don't want to address it, but we want to cover it up, as in sweep under the carpet?
And you don't realize that when it comes to childhood traumas in so many ways, which we're going to unpack just now, if these issues are not dealt with when the person is a child, this person is going to carry this with them as an adult. And as an adult, this child is going to actually be, well, physically an adult, but emotionally still a child dealing with lots of trauma and taking it into his or her marriage, taking it into his or her parenting skills, and the cycle is just not going to break. And somewhere we need to say, enough, there is professional help out there, go out and get it. Hence the topic that we've chosen today. So I think we can start, my dear sister, by explaining, please define for us, what is trauma?
So, you know, actually a lot of people think trauma is, and this is true, trauma is when someone's physically abused or someone's hijacked, someone's kidnapped, someone met with an accident, and now they feel that that is trauma, and okay, I'm going to take you to a psychologist or a trauma counselor, or, you know, get you help. But let's take a step back. Let's take a step back and understand what is trauma. Yes, all of those incidents are traumatic. But then again, trauma, there's also emotional pain. Anything that caused you pain ever since you can remember. Now, when we are kids, say about 8 or 9 years old, how we see the world, how we see, you know, marriage, how we see the opposite sex, meaning your dad or your mom, is coming from your parents. How we see the world and how the lens in which we see other people as well as ourselves comes from our parents. Now, let's get back to the trauma part of it. If we do not sit down with ourselves and understand that emotional pain that is stored within us comes from, again, our childhood or perhaps growing up, perhaps the pain is happening currently and that we're storing it within us. Anything that caused you emotional pain that you're holding on to right now, that is trauma.
That is so important. And that reminder is so important because, again, like we said, if we don't nip it in the bud now, so to speak, we're going to carry it with us in our lives all the time. It's going to seep itself into every relationship that we're going to try to make, whether it be with friends, whether it be with colleagues, whether it be with a spouse. It's just the cycle needs to break. Why are so many people afraid of seeking advice? Why is there somehow in 2022 still a stigma when it comes to going for help? Why is there the stigma related to counseling, speaking to a psychologist, speaking to a life coach or trauma counselor? Why?
Gee, you know, Sister Asha, before that, I just want to touch on trauma and where it's stored. You know, sometimes we feel like we fatigue, like a lot of fatigue, that we're super tired, and we don't have the energy to perhaps even get out of bed or take a shower, or perhaps we have a constant headache and we have, you know, tense shoulders, and we store, sometimes, again, trauma is stored in the physical body itself. So let's go back and trace that. Are we emotionally okay? Are we psychologically, you know, at a balance? Are we at peace? And that is the most important. I think today, more than wealth, more than fame, more than fortune, more than, you know, the glitz and glamour of this dunya, people are seeking that true, that pure peace, that authentic happiness. And you know, you say people are afraid, and it's true. It is so true, especially in the generations that, you know, the older generation, where they feel that seeking help means there's something wrong with you. Do you understand? There's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me, so why should I go see a counselor? There's nothing wrong with me. But again, let's acknowledge, you know, how trauma is affecting us, how this emotional pain that we can, it's like baggage, it's like taking a whole suitcase and carrying it throughout your life, and sometimes, which is so sad, Vivesha, that sometimes people pass on with that luggage that they have never unpacked.
Yeah. That is true. Can they say, you know, and so person passed on with so much of worries on his or her head? That is exactly what you're saying.
And you think that throughout their life they've been carrying it, and it's so heavy. It is so heavy, and they took that with them. So it feels like have they ever had a day in their life where it was peace, contentment, and tranquility?
It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. But the thing is, as we said, in this time right now, the aim of our show as well is to let people know that you do not need to be carrying this baggage with you.
You need to understand it and get help. There we go. And the thing is also, I mean, if you as an adult have experienced childhood trauma in whatever way, it's never too late to go for counseling.
Definitely.
It's never too late. There's nothing to be ashamed about.
Yes.
It's actually the greatest form of empowerment for yourself, and it'll have, you know, lots of benefits for your family thereafter, because you're going to be a different person.
Like, you know, people actually, if you're not well, you're going to go to a doctor, right? I mean, if you're physically not well, you're going to get an injection, you're going to go to a doctor. So again, if you are not feeling well emotionally, you got to seek that help in order to heal, in order to unpack that baggage, and then not to pass it on as well.
Absolutely. Now, we talk about hereditary trauma.
Yes.
If you can please elaborate on that.
Okay, hereditary trauma, it's very important to highlight. This is so extremely important to note that, again, when we carry the trauma of those before us, meaning how we see the world, as I said, comes from our parents. And how they see the world comes from their parents. And it is the cycle of how we were brought up, what beliefs we were brought up with, and that internal voice, Bibasha, you know, the internal voice that speaks to us all the time, you know, it sounds like us, right?
Your sense, yeah, your gut feel.
Yes, but that's been programmed as well. It's again, you know, our self-esteem, how our parents looked at themselves into the mirror and what they said about themselves becomes our internal dialogue. So the hereditary cycle of this is that if we do not stop and say, this does not serve us, and I'm not willing to pass this on to my children and their children, I'm going to stop and try to heal myself and take what's good, because there's good, there's so much of good that can be taken. Take what's good and what doesn't serve me. I'm now going to rearrange the cycle and gift my children differently.
Yes, yes, yes. And again, that need for professional help. Because you're going to speak to a family member or you're going to speak to a friend. Sometimes because of their love for you, they may be biased. They may be subjective, or they may tell it to you like it is and you may not like it. And unfortunately, it can cause a strain in your relationship where it wasn't meant to be intentional. So the advice would be seek help from somebody professional, because this person is trained to assist you. This person doesn't know you. They don't know your family. And obviously, they work with ethics in the sense that it must be kept confidential.
Correct. And 100% that nobody has a professional who doesn't know you. They do not have personal interest in your life.
Exactly.
There's no attachment. There's no, you're not coming from a place of, you know, I know your history and I want to see you at this place, as opposed to I'm giving you advice from a place of professionalism. I'm giving you the advice to equip you in your best interest, because I have no personal interest and I'm not carrying that baggage of my own personal trauma into the session.
Yes. I think that it's important for us now to maybe just mention a few examples of when we're saying, you know, sweeping things under the carpet doesn't make it go away. I'm going to throw some out there and you're obviously welcome to add on. So as an educator, I know one of the things that was something that was always a challenge is if a child battled at school with some learning problem or barrier, and when we addressed parents, there were some parents who were okay, let's deal with this, please advise me how, and together we can ensure that the child gets the full benefit. And then there were other parents, unfortunately, with no, there's no such thing, there's nothing wrong with my child, he or she has to pass, or no, I cannot let my child repeat the grade because what will the family say? So reasons like that, that's one reason. Another one is also, if your child may be suspected, remember, teachers are not allowed to diagnose. We can recommend that parents see a professional, but we are not allowed to diagnose. We are not allowed to say your child is ADHD or your child is this, that we are not allowed to do that. But if we make this recommendation, again, sometimes we have parents who do not take well to that. Also, if you need to tell a parent your son or daughter is a bully, your son, basically to notify a parent of anything that is uncomfortable for them. That can be difficult because by sweeping it under the carpet, that problem is not going to go away. That child who's bullying people in grade 1, 2, and 3 could grow up to be part of a gang later in high school and just think that, you know, I can do what I want. There's no rules. My father and mother will always bail me out. In their eyes, I'm the perfect person. And they're going to be in for a shock when they go out into the real world.
Yes, definitely. And there's so much more, you know, when you talk of the youth and what they're going through and how much of this is being swept under the carpet by their own parents.
Yes.
because that carpet needs to look pretty, right? That picture of a perfect family needs to look okay. And irrespective of what's going on beneath that. So, again, back to communication. How do we communicate? How are we communicating to our children and to ourselves, in fact? You know, when you speak of that bullying issue, it is so common in every school, in every home. But actually, you tell me, where does that come from? Let's just say, where does that come from in a child? How does a child become that bully and then in turn grow up to be a bully at the workplace or even towards their spouse, even towards their own children?
He or she was not given that attention at home, so it's attention-seeking, or he or she was a victim of bullying in the home environment.
It comes, you know, and normally at school level, sometimes even parents would go on to say, but the teacher should do something. And yet the child has been brought up within that environment. That's their lifestyle. That's all they know. And that's all they see. And it's so sad when I say this, that children are born into homes that are not safe emotionally.
Definitely.
When I say that, I mean they're witnessing their mom bullying their dad, or their dad bullying their mom, or you know, physically abusing each other and using the most disgusting of languages. And hence they're taking this into the schools and they're taking this into the world and into their marriages.
And into their lives, definitely. The other one is addiction. If your child is addicted and has run with substance abuse, if your child has a gambling problem, if your child is addicted to social media, because people don't tell me the fact that their son or daughter may be, you know, playing on the games almost 24/7. I mean, you see the 7-8-year-olds with their heads stuck down. It's an addiction. And a child's going to grow up into an adult that's going to do that. They're going to be lacking skills. They're going to be lacking skills in how to deal with other people. So all of these things, these problems as well, addressing it, getting them help, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Because assisting your child, you can be an example to other people and empower other parents to follow in your footsteps.
And you know, baby Aisha, we are an example to our children. There's a lot of work in parenting. Parenting is not easy. And why? Because when Allah Ta'ala, when we pass on, Allah Ta'ala is going to question us of the amana that He has gifted us. And we are answerable for that, for the upbringing. We are here not only to provide, you know, the best in terms of materialism for our children. You know, getting them the latest devices, getting them, okay. But we're here to guide them in this dunya. You know, we as Muslims, we don't live for this dunya. We live for the year after. So in terms of that, our children are looking at us being addicted to the cell phone, to the iPad, to the laptop. You know, it's a busy world, inverted commas. It's a busy world. So that's exactly what they're taking. And they, you know, there's so many teenagers, not even teenagers, perhaps even five-year-olds who sit in their rooms and they're stuck onto the screen, which again has games on it and has videos on it which are addictive.
Absolutely. But we're going to speak much more about this after the ad break. To our beloved listeners, please don't go away.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Leher. And this morning, our topic, sweeping things under the carpet doesn't make it go away. And I'm honored and blessed to be speaking to our guest, author and life coach, Nadira Chapa, all the way from AZN. So Nadira, you know, just before the ad break, I received a message from one of our listeners, and this is a teacher who wants to remain anonymous. And her message is that something that's so pertinent that she feels every listener needs to know, especially parents who are going through a troubled marriage. They're telling yourself that I'm in the marriage for the sake of the children is the biggest lie that you tell yourself because you are afraid of change. And by you remaining in that marriage, you are not doing any favors to the children. Because unfortunately, by them seeing you the way they are going to be carrying all this trauma with them into adulthood. And if you do not seek help, you know, from a respected alim or a learned alim on how to fix your marriage, then think of alternatives because you are not doing your child any favors. Sure, that's a big one.
That's absolutely, absolutely true. When you say that, you know, broken homes, I wrote an article about this recently. I'm not sure if you read this, Abhiraja, where I said, you know, when you talk about children coming from broken homes, normally people say, oh, but you know that they divorce, so it's a broken, it's not a broken home. That's not a broken home.
Exactly.
A broken home is when the child is living there in that house and they're seeing their parents fight and you know, hit each other and abuse each other and cry, and they're looking and they're watching this and they're hearing, and they love both parents, but they're looking at and they're living in this war zone. Is that not a broken home? But society sees this as a perfect home.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the lens in which we see things really affects our lives, because look at this, when you see like a parent and you see their child, oh, they're healthy, they come from a, you know, a good home. But then when they divorce, you think of it as they come from a broken home. But that child may be emotionally more equipped to handle the situation as opposed to the one that's going through trauma day in and day out. And we're not advocating for, you know, divorce and things like that. But if you need to seek help. That's the main.
Yes.
That's seeking help, but not looking picture perfect and, you know, actually being traumatized within yourself.
Absolutely. Go for couple counseling. Go for family therapy. Speak to the you know, the local ulama. Get advice. And then, you know, as a family unit, you can fix what is broken and salvage that marriage, and also create a happy, positive environment for your children, because your children are going to be taking it with them. The other thing that also comes to mind is that, you know, when you were talking about bullying, so sometimes if you see a parent who is a bully, you will somehow take that behavior and put it into your life. I mean, we see that all the time. It's learned behavior. And sometimes, you know, yes, hereditary trauma, 100%, 100%. And also, you know, when it comes to, like we said, when it comes to addictions, when it comes to choosing friends, when it comes to bad company, all of these are ways of screaming out that something is not right in the primary environment. Something is lacking.
And that, you know, when children are growing up, there's three things that are so important psychologically for them to have. It's unconditional love, meaning loving them unconditionally. I may not like that you spilled the milk, you know. I may not like what you did, but I love you. The second one being safety, emotionally safe around parents, not walking around eggshells waiting for the next explosion to happen. So if I'm not safe in my emotions, my child is not going to be safe in their emotions, and they're going to feel responsible for my emotions. Do you see that? And the third one being acceptance of their challenges as well, accepting the child with the challenge and then trying to heal.
You know, something else I just need to ask is, you know, when we say letting go of the past. So also if a child, you know, maybe a teenager could be having a problem with an addiction, and alhamdulillah, the parents are like, we are going to do what it takes to assist this child. So then the child goes for therapy, and mashallah, the child changes and the child's leading a better life now. And if by for whatever reason their child may, you know, we're human beings, we're not perfect, we're going to make mistakes. Don't throw it back at them. Don't say, you know you were an addict. You know you were this.
Correct. 100% embrace them.
Don't judge somebody else. Everybody sins differently. Something like that.
Embrace them as they are and then try to assist. Because if you're going to say that, you know, you keep doing this and it's you, what happens to their minds? It's like, I'm forever doing wrong, so I might as well do it.
Yes, that mentality. The other thing I just need to ask you, because it's something else that also comes to mind, is that, you know, when you say sweeping things under the carpet doesn't make it go away. So now you, this adult, I'm going to say adult child, because physically you are an adult, but emotionally you still have the maturity of a child, not because of your anything you did. It's just basically you were in an environment that didn't
that you couldn't
help you to grow. Yes, help you to grow. And things were swept under the carpet. So now you are married, you're in your own relationship, and now your spouse, who comes from a totally different home, is now battling to communicate with you. There's differences in when it comes to bringing up children. There's differences in way of life in it. What do you do? Because you want to break the cycle.
Correct. And you know, that's when I say there's two types of adults right now. There's one that comes from a home of love where you were given that unconditional love. You were safe with your parents. You know, they were able to communicate with you. Communication is key. And it's without conflict. So communicate without conflict. And then there's the other side of it where they are survivors.
Yes.
So meaning that they had to survive. They had to, you know, they felt as if every day, you know, there was this robber coming into the home and robbing them of happiness, of peace, of safety. So when you feel like your house is on fire, the entire world becomes a light.
That is the truth. And the other thing is, when you feel that your house is on fire, going to buy material possessions is not the candle.
Correct. 100%.
It's not the candle. That is the other thing is, you know, you often hear people, parents would say, but I gave him everything and I gave her everything. What did you give them?
Yes,
I know you bought them maybe a fancy car, took them on fancy holidays, bought them designer clothing, got them every gadget you can think of. Those are not things that they actually really need.
But did you really fill the emotional cup? That's it. Did you really fill?
There we go. Fill the emotional cup. Teach them about.
Aisha, you know, there's one topic that comes to mind that's being promoted, as you know, LGBT being promoted throughout at every level, even in cartoons, you've been re-promoting it, in movies, re-promoting it. They're seeing things on even designer t-shirts and whatever. It's like they're trying to get into the minds of our children.
Exactly.
So as parents, we need to speak to our children about, again, their sexuality, about Islam, bringing the Islamic principles of things from a young age. We need to keep the lines of communication open.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm so passionate about this. It's because it's been swept under the carpet for far too long.
Yes. And also the thing is that when you're a parent, your role as a parent doesn't stop when your child goes to university, studies, and then maybe gets married. Your role as a parent is your role as a parent until your eyes close.
Yes, and that is what you're going to be questioned about. Again, even if they married also, you still have a role as a parent, so they can come to you and say, you know what, I'm just having this. Can you advise me on who to seek help from?
Which brings me to my next question. We spoke about breaking the stigma when it comes to going for counseling, seeking professional help. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. What type of therapy should a Muslim seek?
Okay, now this is a very important question. It's because we are brought up, our lifestyle, how we see the world is as a Muslim, our identity, we are Muslims first and foremost. We are Muslims. Someone asks you who you are before name, sometimes you think I'm a Muslim. We think it.
Yes.
That is us. It's engraved in our identity that we are Muslims. So if we're going for help and we're seeking help from a professional also who may not be a Muslim, we may feel that we cannot confide fully in them, or they may not understand where we're coming from because they don't grasp the, you know, the lifestyle of a Muslim.
Yes.
But when we seek help from a Muslim, and when we say a Muslim, we need to understand there's so much of different forms of therapy right now. So we need to be careful as to what type of, it's simple. If that therapist is using the Quran, the Hadith and the Sunnah, Alhamdulillah, incorporating the psychological part with the spiritual side of it. Yeah. But again, if you're going to delve deeper into it and go into, you know, other things, then you say, you know what, this is not for me.
Absolutely.
So it's simple. It's just the Sunnah and it's the Quran with therapy.
Now, I know this is another very awkward thing to bring up. The whole point is that we need to educate, empower, motivate, and inspire. What topics are people afraid to speak about? And it really, really needs addressing. Because like we say, sweeping things under the carpet is not going to go away. I know one very important one is addiction. If your
100%.
Child is, you know, especially when it comes to substance abuse, a lot of parents feel that, you know, they failed their child, that it's their fault, that it's embarrassing. But the whole thing is, okay, you dealt with a situation now. Are you going to be moping about it and hiding it and feeling ashamed? Or are you going to empower yourself and say, we're going to fix this. We're going to fix this as best as we can. We're going to get a commitment from our child that he or she is going to do whatever it takes to make their life better, firstly to please Allah and then for themselves. And that's the mindset that we need to be having, a growth mindset.
Not
worried about what people think, because people are not paying your bills.
And people will always have something. They have opinions of their own because they have challenges of their own.
Exactly. They have their own challenges, 100%.
You know, they may have worse challenges than you, so we shouldn't be afraid or ashamed. You know that word, shame? That word, don't do this because what would people think? That line is toxic right there. It's not what people will think. It's what Allah thinks. It's what you as a parent think is right for your child. So, you know, irrespective of what people, because people will think what they need to think and they will have opinions of their own, and that's okay also. It's okay. We don't always have to have this picture perfect image. We don't. We are human. We are insan. We all struggle. And having said that, you know, you asked me what topics need to be now clean. from the rug. You know, baby, Aisha, there's so much. There is so much. As you mentioned, addiction. There's another one with regards to divorce, with regards to hereditary trauma. When I say hereditary, I don't mean that the parents even know that they have now passed on these traits to their children.
Yes.
And they're not at fault. You know, they did what they did and how they knew best to raise you. But unfortunately, there were some parts of it where they needed healing. And they couldn't get it at that time. Perhaps, you know, therapy was not easily accessed as it is now.
Yes, yes. So, and again, at that point in time, what will people think of me? Was something that was the first thought that went through people's minds. What will people say?
And again, they didn't have that ability to actually pick up the phone and get the counseling or the help they needed from someone they did not know. So let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to what's happening now. Again, LGBT, again, the idea of the different type of mindsets that come into a marriage and the baggage they bring from their past into it. And hence I say, let's do, you know, premarital counseling.
Yes.
Let's try, instead of the fancy and the stunning weddings, let's try and focus on what comes after that.
I need to just mention this because this is something I've just, you know, came across just now. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want the illusions destroyed.
Correct. And they don't want that image being destroyed. That, you know, that we have it all, that I have no challenges. But again, this dunya, as Muslims, we know that this dunya is a challenge. Each one of us has tests.
Yeah.
So, you know, by hiding what we're going through is not going to help us or help someone else. But by speaking of it, by telling people this is how I'm getting help and this is how I'm improving myself and my family and the emotional status of my children, perhaps they're going to get inspiration from you. And in that sense, they're going to help themselves and their family.
There's something else I just have to mention that, you know, when you're in a process of healing, whether you're an adult, whether you're a parent, whether you're a teenager, obviously you are reminded of, you know, changing your mindset. You are reminded of becoming a better person. First and foremost, you are reminded of Allah, leading a life for you. Strive to please Allah first. I mean, other people around you may come up to you and they may positively tell you, oh, wow, you've changed, mashallah. Or you may have somebody that says, oh, so now you've changed, you're not the same person. And they kind of sort of pass this kind of judgment that they're disappointed in who you've become. But what people fail to understand is life is all about change. You are changing every day. Every day as a person, you are learning something new. It's just up to you to take the lessons. And if somebody is judging you by who you were a week ago or a month ago or a year ago, then that person hasn't actually moved on. You have.
And also, Allah Ta'ala doesn't send us kindness and patience and, you know, resilience in like a gift box and leave it outside our house. Allah Ta'ala sends us people in the form of tests. So we must understand that someone is there to test your patience. Someone is there to teach you kindness. Someone is there to teach you resilience. So again, perhaps it's our children teaching us as well, and we must learn from them as well. You know, perhaps we lacked in the sense of patience, and now we have this child that's, you know, a toddler that's crying all day and all night. So again, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us patience through our child.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in every step of our life, baby, actually, you know, growth in the form of tests. And this life is a test. Allah Ta'ala has said this to us, that this life is a test for the believer.
Definitely. How important is it to motivate children? Remember again, like you said, if your emotional cup is empty as a parent, you're not going to be able to motivate your child.
Yes,
so 100%. How important is motivating your children?
How important is motivating yourself? Firstly. It's doing the work on yourself. It's getting into your side where you feel hurt, where you feel broken, when you feel your heart, your mind, your soul is shattered, and healing it, healing yourself first, and then pouring out to others. If your cup is empty, how are you supposed to motivate or pour to your family?
Yeah. And I don't think we can ever say how important communication is. I don't think we can ever do justice to the importance 100%. Of communication within a family unit.
Gee, but we must always remember that in the past, communication was lacking in our communities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Communication, in terms of communication, we have grown quite a bit now that parents are communicating, expressing their love for their children and expressing, you know, themselves and the world to their children. Before, it was not like this. Communication was very limited. If you understand, communication was now measured through respect. If like people never used to even look up into their uncles who were much older than them or the elderly people. So there was no communication. But now it's changed so much since then that, yes, the lines are open, but we need to understand how to communicate.
That's the important thing. Now, I have two scenarios to ask you now. Mm-hmm. How dangerous is it to be a controlling parent? Mm-hmm. And how dangerous is it to be a controlling child? I mean, I'm talking about dangerous. I'm talking about the consequences in your emotional ability. And I'm talking about the consequences in your relationships with other people later.
Control.
So controlling parents and a controlling child or demanding child.
An important topic. It's such an important topic. You know, when we say a controlling parent, where does that parent get that need to control from? Because if that control is not there, that parent may be feeling anxious. That parent may be afraid. So they place that control, you know, in place. That they have to be in control of the situation. Mm-hmm. And we're not in control because Allah Ta'ala is in control of everything. Allah Ta'ala is in control of our next breath. But when things, it's for example, if they have a picture in their mind, this is how the day should go. And one thing doesn't happen in that day. So emotionally, people have a breakdown. So in terms of control, are you controlling your spouse in that way? Have you been controlling everyone around you to a point where they feel suffocated by your presence?
Exactly. And it's for that person to, like, basically not let go.
Correct. And your children are going to be suffocated by you. Hence, they will not come to you even if they have a struggle in life.
Yeah.
So control comes from, again, it comes from a place where you felt abandoned as a child, where you felt you had no control over huge decisions that were made for you. Mm-hmm. And you were forced to do things that you perhaps did not want to do. So hence, as an adult, you now want to take back that control.
That's true. And on the other scale, when we say, you know, a child that's emotionally demanding, because an emotionally demanding child grows up into an emotionally demanding adult. And that person can also become very toxic in their relationship with their parents and also in their relationship with their spouse and in their own family.
Yeah, and then it leads to like emotional blackmail, manipulation, narcissism.
Yes.
You know, you feel entitled to that person. You feel entitled for that person to make you happy. Do you see the irregulation of emotions? So I cannot make myself happy. I need them to do this for me or to buy me that or to buy me that pair of jeans. That's when I will feel happy. So if daddy doesn't go and get it for me, then I'm not going to be happy for the day. I'm going to be in this foul mood and the rest of the household should know that I'm not okay. But I'm not going to say this to them. I'm going to show it to them. Do you see?
That's manipulation.
Yes, 100%. So how do we tackle this? Is first, again, foremost, let's look at what patterns this child or those children have been witnessing. So if I make a fuss, I get the lollipop. So I'm going to make a fuss at 18, I'm going to get that car.
Like I'm doing things not for your own growth, you're doing it to gain something, like a external material thing.
And that fills the void, that there's this huge dark void, and you keep filling it with material things, it's just going to swallow it. It's never going to get for it. It's keep draining things from you and draining you as a person.
It is so sad. It is just so sad. And like I said, you know, inshallah, with the dua that we make is that we can break the cycle. Now, moving forward, how, when we say, you know, sweeping things under the carpet doesn't make it go away. So we have all these different scenarios. We've provided so many examples. If you can identify yourself and say, I am that enabling parent, or I am that child, or I am this adult who had this experience as I was growing up, and I see that it's seeping into my life now and my relationships. First thing I would think that you would say to that person is acknowledge that you have this problem and go and get help.
What's wrong with you? And you should never be ashamed of it, because that's your test from Allah. Allah Ta'ala wants to see you, you know, be the best Muslimah in this dunya, and inshallah Jannah in the hereafter. But before then, you know, we need to understand that we cannot live in this dunya by suffocating ourselves, by worrying about what other people would think, or that I need to be this person. You need to be who you are. You need to be happy. You need to be at peace with yourself and bring in barakah in your home by communicating, by seeking help, by getting professional therapy for yourself as well as your children.
And also, if you are told by somebody that so-and-so something is not, you know, they picked up something with your child, or they, now maybe your child's grown up and maybe your child's married, or maybe your child's in high school or varsity, and they picked up something negative, again, parents tend to take offense and they like want to become possessive and they sort of want to, you know, defend themselves. It's not a reflection on you. It's not a reflection on you. You're not a bad parent. Everybody makes mistakes.
Yes, and everyone needs that direction. So if someone is telling you, look, this is something's up with your child and your child needs help, if you're going to say, no, my child does not need, because thinking that person is attacking you, then honestly, all of you need to be in family therapy together.
Exactly.
Because that parent needs help. That parent needs
help. Because why that person is actually sweeping things under the carpet and this person's in denial, and actually in the long run, you're going to be the one that's going to be hurt more.
You're sabotaging your child's happiness. You're sabotaging your child's growth. You're sabotaging your child's future and their marriage and their children. So in terms of that, think about the cycle and how it's going to continue if you don't step back and say, look, it ends with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it'll bring us to the next part because we still have a few minutes. Letting go. Because also, you know, there's only so much parents can do. At some point in time, obviously, teenagers have to take responsibility. And obviously, adults need to take responsibility 100%. For their own actions. So there's only so much also parents can do.
Yes.
How do they let go? How do you let go?
You know, when we say that letting go, guiding and then letting go. It's not letting go without guidance, though. So guide your children at every step. You do not have to make the decisions for them. You need to guide them, and that is our responsibility in this dunya as guides. So when we think of that, let's look at the Prophet ﷺ and how he guided people with kindness, with empathy, with so much respect and love and understanding that even sometimes as parents we don't have for our own children.
Definitely. And if your child is continuously makes the same mistake as a child and also now is an adult, who... You know, everyone plays the blame game first and then later hopefully sees the light to get help. But if the person is not growing and they still have this childlike behavior, who is the enabler?
And if you look back, you would find that perhaps, again, it's the hereditary trauma that's being passed on, but it needs to stop. And when you say it needs to stop with the person that's going to help you professionally and give you the tools to manage your emotions. Not that that therapist is going to heal you, because shifa comes from Allah. Shifa comes from Allah. But that person is there to give you the tools in order for you as a parent or as a child to now use these tools in your everyday life.
Sister Nadira, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show. There's so much to be covered. So much that has been covered. What is your final message to our listeners this morning?
So dear listeners, you know, each one of us, we carry wounds. We carry wounds. And some of us are bleeding on people that did not hurt us.
Yes.
So let's look at our emotional wounds. Let's try to heal it, not just by applying this Band-Aid over it and thinking that it's gone. Because when we apply the Band-Aid, we're saying the wound is not there, and yet the blood is coming out, and yet you're bleeding over people that did not even hurt you, that did not deserve to be hurt. So let's look at that wound. Let's get into it, and let's try to apply a healing balm that will soothe it, that will cool it, and then the Band-Aid. Much later, inshallah. So, Jazakallah so much for having me on your show.
Absolute pleasure. Always a pleasure learning from you. May Allah reward you in abundance for all the good that you do. And Allah reward you and remember us in your du'as, inshallah. Jazakallah, Sister Nadira Chapa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
So, beloved listeners, please remember me, my family, and the family and team at Radio Islam International in your du'as. Mubarak days that are coming, very auspicious days that are coming. Please remember us in your du'as. Until we speak again next week, from me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And from my sound engineer, Shu'aib Haji, Jazakallahu khairan.